When most people picture hunting, they imagine a hunter posed beside a large buck, rifle in hand, smiling for the camera. That image belongs to the world of sport. For the self-reliant person who may one day depend on wild meat to feed a family, hunting is something else entirely. It is a food procurement skill, one that sits alongside fishing and foraging on the wild harvest side of the food equation. It is the renewable source of high-value protein and fat that a garden alone struggles to provide. Vegetables can fill a plate, but they rarely deliver the dense fat and protein a working body needs to keep going through hard seasons and harder times. This orientation treats hunting as its own major skill area with several distinct branches beneath it. Each branch, from tracking to trapping to butchering, deserves its own study. The purpose here is to give you the big picture and to point you toward the deeper guides that cover the hands-on details. The single most important idea running through everything that follows is the calorie equation. Every hunt costs energy. You burn calories walking, tracking, waiting, dragging, and processing. The meat you bring home returns calories. When your survival depends on wild food, the question is not how impressive the animal is. The question is whether you gain more energy than you spent. That simple math changes almost every decision a survival hunter makes, and it is why small game and passive methods often matter far more than a trophy animal ever will. Because hunting involves firearms, sharp tools, wild animals, and legal responsibility, safety, legality, and ethics are not side notes. They run through every part of this subject. Treat them as core obligations, not afterthoughts. What to hunt, matching quarry to calories. The first decision a survival hunter faces is not how to hunt but what to hunt. The animals available to you fall into a few broad categories, and each one offers a different balance of food value against the effort it takes to get. Big game. Big game includes animals like deer, elk, and wild hogs. These animals represent the largest single payoff a hunter can bring home. A single deer can yield tens of pounds of meat, along with valuable fat and materials you can use beyond the kitchen. For a family, one large animal can mean weeks of food if it is properly preserved. The catch is that big game demands a great deal in return. It takes skill, patience, and often a lot of ground cover to find and take one. The energy spent tracking a deer over miles of terrain is real, and there is no guarantee of success. When you do succeed, the work has only started. Field dressing, moving, and butchering a large animal is heavy labor. There is also the risk of loss. Meat can spoil quickly in warm weather, and without a reliable way to preserve a large amount at once, much of that payoff can go to waste. Small game. Small game, such as rabbits, squirrels, and similar animals, tells a very different story. Any single animal offers far less meat than a deer. But small game is usually far more abundant, easier to find near where you live, and much simpler to process. You do not need to drag a squirrel for a mile or figure out how to preserve 40 pounds of meat before it turns. For the survival hunter, this steadiness is a major advantage. A rabbit here and a squirrel there, taken with low effort over several days, can add up to a reliable food supply without the high risk of an all-or-nothing big game hunt. Small game also lets you spread your effort out. You are not betting an entire day and a huge burst of energy on one shot at one animal. Birds and waterfowl. Birds and waterfowl round out the picture. Upland birds and ducks or geese can provide good lean meat, and in the case of waterfowl, useful fat as well. Birds often gather in numbers, which can make a productive spot worth returning to. They do require their own skills and, in many places, their own specific seasons and rules, so plan accordingly. Choosing with the calorie equation in mind. Here is where the weekend hunter and the survival hunter part ways. The weekend hunter often chases the challenge and the trophy. The survival hunter cares about efficiency. Big game gives a large caloric reward but costs more energy, skill, and processing time, with a higher chance of coming home empty. Small game and birds give smaller but steadier and lower risk returns. When you are truly depending on wild meat, the abundant, low-effort animals close to home will usually feed you more reliably than a single distant, hard-won prize. This does not mean big game has no place. It means you weigh each opportunity against what it costs you. For deeper detail on specific animals and the strategies that work best for each, see the dedicated species and strategy guides in this hub. Methods and tools, from firearms to snares. Once you know what you are after, the next question is how to take it. There are several ways to harvest game, and each fits the calorie equation differently. Some methods spend a lot of your energy. Others let you gather food while you do something else entirely. That difference is enormous when you are hunting to survive. Firearms are the most common and often the most effective tool for taking game. A rifle can reach out to big game at distance, and a shotgun works well for small game and birds. Firearms offer range, power, and a clean, humane result when handled by a skilled shooter. The trade-offs are that they require ammunition, which is a limited resource you cannot easily make, and they are loud, which can announce your location. They also demand real marksmanship. A missed shot is wasted energy and a lost meal. Because firearm skill and safety are large subjects on their own, look to the weapons and skills topics where marksmanship and safe handling are covered in depth. Bows and crossbows offer a quieter alternative. They do not rely on manufactured ammunition in the same way, since arrows can be recovered and reused, and they draw far less attention. The cost is difficulty. A bow requires close range, steady practice, and excellent shot placement. It is a rewarding skill but not one you can pick up in a weekend. As with firearms, the deeper guidance on tool handling and accuracy lives under the weapons and skills topics. Trapping and snaring. Now for the methods that deserve the most weight in a survival context. Trapping and snaring are passive. Once you set a trap or a snare in the right place, it works for you day and night whether you are present or not. You can set a line of snares in the morning, spend the rest of the day gathering firewood, hauling water, or tending a garden, and return to check your sets later. This is the decisive advantage. Think back to the calorie equation. Active hunting is calorie expensive. You spend energy the entire time you are out looking, stalking, and waiting. Trapping is calorie conserving. The trap spends no energy. It simply waits. That means your effort is spread across many sets at once instead of poured into a single pursuit. A dozen snares working through the night can outproduce a full day of active hunting for a fraction of the energy cost. Traps and snares are also quiet, cheap, and can be built from simple materials. This makes them one of the most valuable skills a survival-minded person can learn. There is a serious catch, though. Trapping and snaring are tightly regulated in most places, and in some situations they are restricted to specific circumstances or seasons. You must know and follow the law where you live. For guidance on building, setting, and legally using traps and snares, turn to the dedicated spokes on those subjects. Field skills, tracking, sign, and animal behavior. You can own the finest rifle and the best snares ever made, but none of it matters if you cannot find the animals. This is where field skills separate a successful hunter from someone who comes home empty and hungry. These are learned skills, and the hard truth is that they must be built well before you actually need them. Nobody becomes a skilled tracker during a crisis. Competence comes from practice, and practice takes time. Tracking is the art of following an animal by the marks it leaves behind. Footprints in mud, snow, or soft soil tell you what passed by, how large it was, and often how recently. Learning to read tracks lets you know whether animals use an area at all and which direction they travel. It turns a random walk in the woods into a purposeful search along paths the game actually uses. Reading sign. Sign is the broader set of clues animals leave in their environment. This includes droppings, chewed plants, rubbed bark, matted resting spots, feathers, fur caught on branches, and trails worn into the ground. Reading sign is like reading a story written by the animals themselves. It tells you what lives nearby, what it eats, and where it moves. A hunter who can read sign knows where to set a snare or wait an ambush instead of guessing. Animal behavior and seasonal patterns. Understanding how animals behave and how those behaviors shift through the seasons may be the most powerful field skill of all. Animals feed, water, and rest on patterns. They move at certain times of day. They favor certain areas depending on the weather and the time of year. In cold months, food grows scarce and animals concentrate around the resources that remain, which can make them easier to locate if you know what to look for. This kind of knowledge dramatically improves your efficiency. Instead of covering endless ground hoping to stumble onto something, you position yourself where the animals already are. For a deeper look at how animals move and feed during the cold season, see the existing Winter Wildlife Behavior article, which is the go-to resource on cold season patterns. For more on the mechanics of following tracks and interpreting sign, see the dedicated tracking and sign reading spokes. Above all, remember that these are practical skills. You get better by spending time outdoors, watching, and paying attention. Every walk is a chance to practice reading the landscape. After the shot, field dressing, processing, and butchering. A common mistake is to think the hunt ends when the animal goes down. In reality, that is where the real work begins. A kill is not yet food. Between the moment an animal falls and the moment a meal reaches your plate, there are several careful steps, and every one of them protects the value of what you have taken. Field dressing. Field dressing is the first task. It means removing the internal organs soon after the animal is down. This matters because those organs hold heat and bacteria, and leaving them in place lets the meat spoil quickly. Prompt, Clean field dressing cools the carcass and preserves the meat, especially in warm weather. It is not glamorous work, but it is essential, and doing it well is the difference between good food and wasted effort. Processing and butchering. Processing and butchering come next. This is the work of breaking the animal down into usable cuts of meat. For small game, this is fairly simple. For big game, it is a larger and more demanding job that takes some know-how and the right tools. Careful butchering keeps the meat clean, reduces waste, and makes it ready for cooking or preservation. Sloppy work wastes the animal and can ruin meat that took real effort to obtain. Handing off to preservation and storage. Once the meat is broken down, the clock is still ticking. Fresh meat does not last long on its own. This is where hunting connects directly to the preservation pillar and then to storage. Methods such as drying, smoking, salting, or canning turn a perishable harvest into food that lasts for weeks or months. Proper handling from the moment of the kill through preservation is what lets a single successful hunt actually feed you over time. See the dedicated guides on dressing, butchering, and preservation for the step-by-step detail. Legality, safety, and ethics. Running through every part of hunting are three obligations that you cannot set aside. The first is legality. Hunting is governed by licenses, tags, seasons, and rules about which animals may be taken and how. These laws exist for good reasons, including keeping animal populations healthy so that wild food remains a renewable resource for the future. Know the rules where you live and follow them. The second is safety. Firearms and sharp tools cause serious injury when handled carelessly. Every hunter is responsible for safe firearm handling, safe knife work, and awareness of others in the field. A hunting trip that ends in an accident helps no one. The third is ethics. Taking an animal for food carries real weight. That means striving for a clean, humane result, respecting the animal by using as much of it as possible, and never taking more than you need or the land can support. These are not soft ideals. They are the marks of a responsible hunter and a self-reliant person worthy of the skill. For a fuller treatment of the legal and ethical dimensions, see the dedicated guides on those subjects. Conclusion: hunting for survival is a serious skill, not a hobby or a trophy chase. Judge every choice by the calorie equation. Weigh what you gain against what you spend, and you will often find that a snare line and a few rabbits feed you better than chasing a single big animal. Build your tracking, trapping, and butchering skills now, while the pressure is off, because competence only comes with practice. Keep legality, safety, and ethics at the center of everything you do. Follow the deeper spoke guides in this hub to sharpen each skill in turn. Done right, hunting becomes a renewable source of the protein and fat that keeps a self-reliant family strong through hard times.